Welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy program. We are broadcasting from 92.1 in Provincetown, 91.3 in Orleans, and online at WOMR.org. I am Lindsay Henderson, your host from Cape Light Compact. Well, you've probably seen a lot of solar panels recently popping up on houses on your drive around the Cape, or have been approached by companies wanting to install solar on your house. With energy costs increasing, people have been looking for ways to reduce their energy costs, and have turned to installing solar, which has brought many companies into the area who are marketing their products. This can be overwhelming for the average consumer. So over time, we've had some requests from our listeners to discuss and explain this opportunity a little bit further. So with me today is Megan Amsler, director from Cape and Island Self-Reliance, who will help explain the various options you have for installing solar and things that you need to look out for. Welcome, Megan. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Lindsay.
So I guess, why has there been such an increase in solar installations that we've seen over the last couple of years?
That's a good question. I think there are a number of factors that come into play that really explain why we've seen such an explosion in the marketplace. Third-party ownership is allowed, and that was through the Green Communities Act of 2008. So that allowed companies like SolarCity and Sungevity and some of these other companies to come in and offer a leasing option to folks. The cost of the equipment has come down substantially over the past couple of years, and some would say that is due to opening things up and having that manufacturing come primarily through China, the Chinese manufacturing, and those pressures on the market have driven the costs down.
Yeah, because I know even 10 years or so ago, it was kind of, solar's been around for a long time.
Absolutely.
But even within the last 10 years,
it
has come down pretty substantially.
Yes, indeed. Right, and seeing the simple return on investment numbers come down to, I'm seeing numbers in the 4-year range, and I think that's amazing.
That's really great and affordable.
Exactly,
and makes
for
it
things
more affordable
that are warrantied for 25 years, let's face it, when was the last time we bought an appliance that provided us you want a toaster, for example, you buy it, it toasts your toast, and that's really
it lasts
great,
for a couple of years, and that's it.
That's right. But it doesn't provide you with a cash stream the way a solar system does. So there's the solar renewable energy certificates that Massachusetts have. Massachusetts residents have access to those, and that's through the state. And it's a tradable commodity that's definitely contributed to the attractiveness of a solar system. And that's also brought developers into the Commonwealth, right? That helps with the financing and makes the whole package, the financial package, work really nicely.
And let's explain a little bit what a solar renewable energy certificate is, because even after years of doing this, I still have a hard time wrapping my head around what
really
it is.
It's esoteric, and I spend a lot of time talking about this, because I have taught renewable energy at the community college for years, and so whether it's a college student that's trying to wrap their head around this or just an average citizen, totally get that it's kind of out there. So whether or not you consume that power on your, the panels, let's say the panels are on your roof, it's a beautiful sunny day, and you're spinning your meter backwards, and somebody else is consuming that power, or you're consuming that power, either way, you get rewarded for generating clean kilowatt hours. So it means that some fossil fuel plant somewhere is not having to pump out as much juice. That's the idea. So it is, it's a tradable commodity. So when you sign up to do, you sign a contract to have a solar system installed on your roof, you actually sign a contract with a third-party aggregator that buys up lots of people's solar renewable energy certificates and then sells them on the marketplace.
And I know that Cape Light Compact's power supply program, as part of the state regulations and stuff, we also purchase SRECs.
Yes.
And regular RECs as well.
Exactly. Right, and that's tied to the renewable portfolio standard, which is a policy within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts that says that folks that are selling electricity to consumers in Massachusetts, that a certain percentage of that power must come from renewable resources, and I know the compact has been doing that for a long time. So that's another way, though, that that power can ostensibly stay local.
That's what I was just thinking, stay local, yeah.
And that's really, you know, that's definitely one of the important things from my perspective through self-reliance is helping people really figure out what is the best way to keep more of our energy dollars in the local economy.
So if somebody is looking to install solar on their home,
yes.
What do they need to do? Where do they start? Because I know it's very confusing and there's so many moving parts to it.
So the first thing that we recommend that people do is get your electricity bill out and flip it over that first page. And on the back, there's that little graph chart.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, on the front is the graph chart, and on the back is there's a little box that has the 13-month snapshot.
Yeah.
And so what we tell people to do is add up those 12 months. You can pick. If last year's consumption for the month of February was a little higher, and this month, or you know, this year's was not so much, you know, you need to figure out what is more accurately representing your usage. But add up 12 months of electrical consumption, not the money part. That's where people get really confused. You know, people will say, well, I spend $100 each month on electricity. It's like, that's...
But the money part, the
really,
rates change,
right, exactly.
That is so variable.
It's so fluid that what we really need to be able to calculate the size of a solar system is the number of kilowatt hours. So that's where we have people start. And the other thing that I like to point out to folks when I have the opportunity to sit down with them, because frankly, I have been absolutely shocked by some, you know, a two-person household, and they're using, you know, when I do the calculations for how much solar they need close to 10 kilowatts. And I'm like, what are you guys using for electricity, you know? So there's an opportunity to look at the bill, look at those months and say, okay, so in January you're using 1,400 kilowatt hours. Why? What's going on here? And you know, some folks are like, well, maybe the Christmas lights were still up. It's like, well, December's bill is not so big. So really, like, do you have electric space heater going on? And in the summertime, we look, is it air conditioning load? And then that really leads into helping them understand the value of an energy audit through the compact. And so we always send people there. Even if people say, oh, I had one of those about 5 years ago, no problem. Sign up for one again.
Yeah, you can have one every year, actually.
Right. And really helping folks understand, like connect the dots of this is why. Because if you take advantage of the efficiency and the conservation measures, you can actually drive down the cost of your solar system. And so that's really important. So we take those the kilowatt hour consumption on an annual basis, and then we make a calculation to figure out how many kilowatts we would need on the roof. And from that, we can then determine how many square feet on the roof we would need. And that's important because we need to make sure that there's no shading, and a professional installer, you know, when the person is ready to explore that, they do that evaluation to determine, you know, is the roof unshaded? Is it facing south? Is it tilted more to the east or is it tilted more to the west?
So if you live in the middle of the woods somewhere with trees all around you, big, huge trees, it might not work
for you.
That's
right. And definitely, you know, there are folks who say, well, I'd really like to do this. And, you know, I have some trees that need to be trimmed. And I think, okay, that's great. But we definitely are not advocates for chopping trees down so that you can put up solar. Because, you know, again, I like to be a systems thinker about this and think, you know, just because you're generating clean electricity, if you chop down the trees have so many other values. You know, they help process the oxygen that we breathe, and they filter the groundwater, and they help with the carbon sequestration.
There's so many trees that are chopped down in the world as it is.
Exactly, exactly. Don't chop it down for a solar system, because there are other options. You can buy a share in a community-supported solar program, and, you know, those are ways.
And Cape Light Compact has a couple of green programs as well.
Exactly, and so there are absolutely ways that people can say, I'd like to invest in that, even if I can't have it on my roof.
Right. So after they've evaluated their bill,
mm-hmm.
what do they do if they've decided, okay, I want to install solar now? What would their next step be?
So we can, through self-reliance, I've been spending a lot of time through our Clean Energy Community Challenge walking people through this whole process. Because people have questions about, you know, who's a reputable company and how do I choose between a Solar City and Sungevity program, which is a third-party ownership, or a local company, and, you know, how do I decide? Because I've gotten things in the mail, and I personally have gotten things in the mail.
Yeah, I've seen people, you know, at the mall and, you know, marketing really heavily. So now there's, you had mentioned earlier that a lot of third-party companies have come into the market.
Yes.
And so now there's this leasing option, which people are hearing about, you know, you can lease your roof or you can lease the system. And let's explain that a little bit, because I know that people are, you know, probably like, what is this?
Yes. And I would just say right off the top, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I have had, you know, I've had lots of conversations with folks about this, and what it really boils down to is that we need to sit and do the math. And we need to make a comparison to something else. And I totally understand that people get drawn in by the fact that there's no cost associated with it. But what does that really mean? Because these companies are not here to put solar on your roof out of the goodness of their heart.
Exactly. They're not here to give stuff away. There's something in it for them.
There's a business scenario here, absolutely. And, you know, they're taking advantage of the tax credit. They're taking advantage of the SRECs. And what you're basically signing up for when you sign one of these third-party contracts is a fixed price, or sometimes they have an escalator so that the price goes up over a certain period of time. And you sign a contract for 20 years. And I think what people don't necessarily think about are, what are the ramifications of signing a contract for 20 years? Now, on one hand, isn't it great to say, hey, I would know what the cost of my electricity is going to be for the next 20 years? So on one hand, that's really valuable.
Right.
However, you know, folks are saying, well, I'm not really sure how long I'm going to be here in this house.
Or, exactly. What if you plan on, you know, you might end up moving in a few years or...
And that is something to contend with, because of the fact that the third-party solar companies don't want to come in and pay their people to come and take that off, you know, take the system off the roof, and then you've defaulted on your contract. What they do is, when you put the house up for sale, and you go to sign the, you know, when you your new customer comes, the new owner comes to buy it, they have to sign on to that contract. So if
so they're like transfer it over
exactly.
To the new.
And again, sort of where this is a relatively new thing, It's a little more complicated for people to wrap their heads around, like, oh, I have to buy this thing too, where a lot of people think, oh, it's up there, it must be
right, they just assume it's included.
Exactly. And so avoiding those pitfalls, and again, just being mindful of all of the different scenarios that follow along if you do decide you're going to depart. And then we obviously want to look at ownership. That's what I like to do, is say to folks who bring in a proposal to me that's a Solar City or something along those lines, and I say, okay, let's look at this, because automatically people say, I can't afford it. Now there's the Mass Solar Loan Program.
Yeah,
which
there's
is,
a lot of options now
right,
for people.
And so that's really exciting to me. And so, again, bringing all of the information around the different incentives so that people can make an informed decision. Like, that's our goal through self-reliance, is to help people make these informed decisions. We don't want to pressure people. We just want them to have the information at hand to say, like, all right, this is, like, let's spell it out. And this, you know, when you read the proposals, and they totally differ from company to company.
And that's like, I mean, our listeners will know, you know, we've been probably beating this into the ground with the competitive suppliers over the last couple of years, with the prices, energy prices going through the roof. We've done a lot of outreach about reading your terms and conditions.
Absolutely.
Not, you know, making sure you get stuff in writing, and take your time when you're reviewing these. You don't feel pressured into
Absolutely.
Anything.
I totally concur with that. And also, you know, same thing on the competitive supply. And I think people, unfortunately, are wooed by a glossy mailer.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you get something in the mail and it
has your
name on it.
And you see something's
going to
be free. I mean,
That's
who
right.
wouldn't want to, you
right.
know, jump on it?
So I just... I want to caution people, you know, hit the pause button. And especially if people are, you know, the salespeople are calling you like, this offer is only good for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Forget it. No. do not fall for that. So I think the other thing that I have seen in just driving around, not on the Cape solely, but all over the place, is that with this huge influx and demand for solar, is that some of the systems are not installed in optimal locations. You know, I do see things that are really shaded, and that people have to remember, regardless of if you have a microinverter on your system or if you just have a regular string inverter, shading is very powerful to diminish the output of your solar system. And so, again, sort of going back to what we were talking about before, making sure you have a suitable site is really important.
Yeah, I know there's this one house that I drive by a lot, you know, on the way to the grocery mm-hmm. store. And, like, the yard is pretty well surrounded by trees, and there's, like, 2 solar panels on the house. And I'm like, is that really doing anything for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I see things, and I've asked a couple of people where, you know, I've seen a system where on the 22nd of June at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 3/4 of the array is shaded. And, you know, their response is, oh, well, we have microinverters, which is great because on one hand, if you do have a little bit of shading, it helps the remaining unshaded panels continue to produce electricity. Mm-hmm. Where, like, the system that I have, which has a string inverter, that's like a kink in the overall hose of the output of the system. Just a little bit of shading, like,
yeah.
I could stick a pencil over the top of
and
one of the modules
basically,
and
like shut the whole system down.
Yeah, it degrades it substantially. So again, that's those are things that we like to walk people through, and I encourage people to call, reach out to people, talk to your friends and neighbors about your, you know, experiences and references, checking references. That's another really critical thing. I like to have people get a couple of proposals. We do solar drop-in days at Self-Reliance, and then I also set up appointments so that people can, you know, they can do it on the phone, I can FaceTime. We have all kinds of
yeah.
scenarios where we can sit down and really go over the details of these, because I want to be able to do the math and say, all right, so for this proposal over here, these guys are charging $5.20 a watt, and they're a company that is from the West.
Mm.
Let's think about that. And then over here, we have this company here, sort of middle of the road price point. Are they offering you the same size system? No. Oftentimes that's, you know, there's so many numbers, people get
there's
overwhelmed.
So many variables.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So really trying to look at it and say, like, okay, so based on the math that we did of your bill, this is how much we know you should have. Should you want to do 100% of your load, this is where we're at. Are any of these proposals in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Do you have enough open space on your roof for that? And then how much are they charging per watt? So that people, you know, can see that. And then, all right, well, if the tax credits, and here we do not give out tax advice, but, you know, talk people through what are the questions that they should ask of their tax person to figure that out. And understanding that, you know, if you can't take it right away, you know, the first year, talk to your accountant about how can you take that tax credit over a couple of years. Here's the Massachusetts state tax credit. Here's what the value of the electricity that your system would be producing. And then here's the SREC value. And then do all the math and figure out what the simple return on investment is. And that way you can see side by side each one of those. Now, a third party contract is very different, because you're always paying and you're never really, I feel like if you're gonna sign up for a 20-year contract and you could own a system, and through the Mass Solar Loan Program, if your income is at or below a certain amount in the $60,000 or $65,000 range, don't quote me on exactly because I can't remember what it was, but you know, the state actually assumes 30% of that loan. So that totally changes
the ball game.
Exactly. And it may, you know, and the interest rate is really, really competitive, depending on the life of the loan. And then even if you're above, say, 65,000 between, and then there's another one in the 80, let's say it's 85, again, don't quote me because I can't remember if it's exactly what the number is, but they'll assume 20% of that loan. And even if you don't qualify for that, still having a way to finance it with
right.
a low interest rate makes a lot of sense. And I
Absolutely.
So I encourage people to really explore that.
And that's through the Massachusetts Clean Energy
it
Center,
is,
right?
Yes. And you have to work with one of their pre-approved solar installers to take advantage of that. And you have to sign a contract, and then that contract gets, you know, sent up to the Clean Energy Center, and they, you know,
they do their thing.
And you get paperwork back that you can then take to the bank, and that helps the whole, you know, that allays some of the anxieties that the banks might have about, like, oh, we're not totally sure about investing in solar,
right? We don't know what we're doing,
exactly.
Really.
But the Clean Energy Center and Department of Energy Resources has worked really hard trying to, you know, come up with a good program. So again, I strongly encourage people to explore that, and if they have questions, to call us and or call the Mass Clean Energy Center or call a local solar installer that's on that list, because they'll have the details.
Yeah, it's one thing that's really nice about the Cape and the Vineyard is there's a lot of local people that are nonprofit that are really here working for the consumers and the ratepayers. So
yes.
you know, don't hesitate to reach out to any one of us. You know, the Compact,
right.
we've got the energy efficiency and power supply, you've got Self-Reliance that does a lot of the renewable
yes.
part of it. And I mean, we don't have, I don't want to say stakes in the game, you know, we're not in it for the money, we're
right.
here to help you.
Right, and absolutely consumer advocacy, making sure that consumers are not getting stuck in unfortunate situations as it relates to energy. Anything really, but
absolutely, yeah.
But energy in particular.
So now if somebody was wanted to pursue the purchasing, we've mentioned
yes.
the loan
yes.
and some tax credits. Are there yes. also like incentives available?
Well, the SRECs, I would say, the Solar Renewable Energy Certificates, known as SRECs, those are a state, that's an incentive, so that's a financial vehicle. There's the federal tax credit, which was extended. That was due to expire at the end of 2016. So again, I think you had initially asked about like what's caused this burst of
boom.
Yeah, and I think people were really freaking out, like, oh, this incentive, 30% tax credit is going to disappear at the end of 2016. Better hurry up and get my system installed.
Right.
So I think that was a driver. But we have a state tax credit for $1,000. The federal tax credit is a 30% tax credit. You have the SRECs, but that's totally related to the output of the system. So it's not based on the capacity. It's based on however much you produce, your system is producing, whether it's consumed on site or sold back. You know, if your meter's spinning backwards, you're still getting that. Then there's also net metering credits, right? Because we know we're starting now to come out of the doldrums of winter.
I know, it's
Yippee.
Been so nice.
I know. Last night I was driving, like, it's still light, and it's after 6 o'clock. So, you know, we know that here in New England, we have darkness in the winter months and nice sun in the summertime. So the beauty of net metering, or one of the beauties of net metering, is that in the summertime when your system is cranking out kilowatt hours, you basically put those into your little kilowatt hour piggy bank to get you through the months where we don't have as much sun.
So that's pretty cool. So you can work up all this solar and
yep.
credits and stuff in the summertime
yes.
and keep it for your snowy days.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I, you know, I think the other thing that I personally, and I know through Self-Reliance, we are trying to help people make decisions about transportation. You know, are you looking at an electric vehicle in the future? Should you think about where, you know, there are a lot of arguments out there that electric vehicles are not necessarily the way to go, because where are we going to get that electricity from? Are we going to get it from coal? Are we going to get it from nuclear power? You know, what are we doing? So I like to think about the fact that, okay, well, if you are planning on that in the next couple of years, you know, it can be whenever, but now might be the time when you're doing your system development to think about that and maybe add some extra kilowatts to your system to accommodate your transportation needs in the future.
And just when you were talking about the electric vehicle, I'm almost thinking too, if somebody's going to put an addition on their house or, you know, do some major construction to
right.
your house, is kind of taking that into factor.
Right. And the heat pump, the Douglas mini split heat pumps, those are becoming really quite popular. And I think if you're looking to go to a lower carbon budget in your home or your business, those are a great way to go. But we like to try to get people to think about putting solar electric up there, so coupling that with your ductless mini split, because it is a nice low electricity consumer. It does dehumidification, it does
heating,
heat
cooling.
And cooling. So it's really a sort of like this miracle thing.
They're actually not too bad looking. The technology has really improved over the
really
last several years.
It really has. And especially in the cold, they have cold weather versions. We have some folks that participated in our program. They had one dehumidifier running in the basement bedroom, one of the basement bedrooms, that used as much electricity as when they wanted to get rid of that. They put ductless mini splits on three floors, and it used the same amount of electricity as one dehumidifier in the basement bedroom.
Wow.
So, and it, you know, instead of just doing dehumidification, they had the option to do
the heating
all three.
And cooling.
Exactly.
And of course, dehumidifiers, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation.
Exactly.
Making sure it's sized right for
right.
the space, and you don't have to have it on zero humidity. But
and a lot of folks saying that with the nice, you know, having the house insulated and air sealed, and then putting in the ductless mini split and only having it on the dehumidification setting makes a huge difference. Like, they don't even need the cooling as often as they had in the past.
Right.
So, you know, again, sort of connecting all of those energy dots is really important.
So, and just, I know we've mentioned energy assessment a few times,
yes.
and of course, put the plug in for the compact
here. Absolutely.
If you're looking, you know, to kind of start your solar adventure, have an energy assessment first.
Yes.
If you haven't had one in the last couple of years, and you can give us a call at 1-800-797-6699. And as we wrap up, Megan, let's just recap kind of just the highlights, what people, you know, need to look at.
So definitely look at how many kilowatt hours are you using? So what does that load really look like? What roof space do you have that might be, you know, and don't get up on the ladder. I don't want people going out there.
You don't need to measure it yourself.
Exactly. It's something that, you know, reputable solar companies can absolutely do a desktop analysis, and then they come out and do a solar pathfinder analysis and collect a couple of proposals, check references, you know, stop in and see your electrical inspector in your town and ask him about, or the building commissioner. You know, have those conversations about, do you have any thoughts about a solar company that I should work with, or one that I shouldn't, that maybe has violations or something along those lines?
Yeah,
because
complaints or...
Yeah, they, you know, those guys don't, they are there to protect, you know, every, make sure that the systems are installed correctly and that the homeowners aren't getting taken to a certain degree along those lines, right? They're making sure that the workmanship is of good quality, and that the, you know, from the electrical inspector's perspective, they're there to determine that everything is as it should be and it meets the code. And
that's important.
Really important. It really is important. And while they may not be the best, you know, they might not know, like, is this, you know, should this solar system be underneath these trees? They totally can't tell you that. But, you know, I think you get a pretty good sense quickly of the good folks to work with. And once you understand that trees and solar don't work well together.
Yeah, that's probably the number one thing.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to pursue this, and want some assistance, how can they reach you
so they can,
at Self-Reliance?
Call Self-Reliance at 508-563-6633. Or reach out to us via our website, which is www.reliance.org. And there's information on our Clean Energy Challenge there. And, you know, most of the time I find that a one-on-one conversation is really effective.
Especially with some complicated
topics
like this.
Exactly. And people should not feel...
intimidated?
Exactly. Intimidated by the fact that, you know, they don't understand the proposals. And I think about this. What comes to my mind is the absolute terror that I feel when I have to buy a car. You know, like,
so much involved.
Exactly.
It's,
and
a,
all
big,
these
it's a big thing.
Right.
It's
and
big
you're
thing.
On the hook financially. And but there I always feel like, the, you know, it's you're on the hook. You have to do this. I don't want people to feel that way around solar. I want you to take the time to actually understand what it is, because these systems have equipment that have no moving parts in them. They are warrantied for 25 years. That's a really good thing. I like the fact that we have this equipment, that the planned obsolescence button has been put on delay for quite a while, you know. And that, you know, people should think about a four-year payback, you know, in a range for, again, depending on which company you go with. But when was the last time you bought an appliance that gave you that value and paid you a revenue stream over a 10-year period, which is what the SRECs do? You usually sign a contract for 10 years. So.
Well, this is great. A lot of information, but hopefully that cleared it up for some of our listeners out there. And thank you for joining me today, Megan.
Thanks so much for having me, Lindsay. This was great.
So for our listeners, if you have any questions on what was discussed today or would like more information on our programs, give us a call at 508-375-6644 or visit our website, capelightcompact.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next month. Thank you.